WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Good evening. This is your hostess, June Dawn Knight, coming to you from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm still on my summer tour and really appreciate you praying. Thank you so much. I cannot do this without you. Listen, today we have the honor of having Rich Vera with us today. How you doing, sir?
Well, praise the Lord, June. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Now, what state are you actually calling from, and where are you
from? I'm in California right now, in Costa Mesa, but I live in Orlando, Florida. So, you know, I'm going on the other side of the world.
Yes, sir. Now, if you don't mind sharing with the bride, what is your story? Where did God take you from nothing and make you into something?
Well, you know, my story is definitely quite unique. You know, I was born and raised a Roman Catholic, you know, very faithful churchgoer, you know, Catholicism, it's more like of a tradition for South Americans. I have a South American, my family's from South America, so we were traditional churchgoers. I was 17 years old when I had an encounter with the Lord, and I became born again, and the Lord came to me in a dream, and because I was, when I heard the gospel preached, I thought that only Catholics, you know, go to heaven, and you have to be a Catholic, and the rest, they're just off. But the Lord came to me in a dream, and I realized that it was Jesus. It was not the church. It was not the preacher. It was not the doctrine. But it was putting your faith and your life in the hands of Jesus that gets you saved. And that's what I did when I was 17. I turned to the Lord, gave my life to him, and the best experience of my life took off in July 9, 1990.
Aww. Well, I was reading on your bio where you talked about an experience you had in 2005. Would you mind sharing that with the bride and tell us, has that come to pass yet, and is it still to come?
You know, I have had three significant encounters with God so far in my life. One, when I got born again, July 9, 1990, as I mentioned. Then on May 1997, I was a missionary in Argentina. And the Lord came to me on a vision and laid his hands on me and anointed me for the miracle ministry. From that time on, we have one of the strongest miracle ministries in Latin America. Literally around the world, we see tens of thousands of all kinds of miracles that are causing entire cities and regions to come to the knowledge of God. I believe miracles are supposed to get the unbelieving to believe, not just miracles for the sake of having miracles. And then November 14, 2005, I had an experience, which you mentioned right now, that the Lord knocked me on the ground while I was living in Maui, Hawaii, and took me to heaven for 6 hours. And revealed to me his glory. I had no idea what the glory was. To me, the glory and the anointing were the same thing. The glory to me was the feeling that you feel when God comes in a room. And I got exposed to the glory of God. You know, the anointing, it's the first level. The glory of God, it's the level where God abides. And the Lord revealed to me, you know, the atmosphere, the place of his glory. And a lot of things happened to me. I was restored. I was delivered. I mean, I was already preaching the gospel around the world with a very successful miracle ministry. In fact, if you go to my webpage, you go to YouTube, I have dozens of videos of my crusades around the world with masses of people. But the Lord delivered me in his presence. I remember clearly vomiting three demons that looked like water balloons. and I vomited out, and I was set free. And now people says, well, how could a Christian or a preacher have devils? Well, I don't know the theology, but I had them. And God
come
set me free
now.
From that.
Amen.
You know, and the Lord set me free from that. And when he set me free, a greater dimension of him came on my life. And since then, I have seen literally hundreds of ministers set free from things. You know, deliverance is not a bad word. You know, people are afraid of deliverance. You know, they think that if you have something in you, then you're a bad person. But no, in reality, deliverance is a need in America now. You know,
amen.
Yes, and the reason why society is the way it is, you know, what's happening in America with whatever you see on the news is because the church has reduced God's glory to a sermon and to a church attendance. And we have removed the power of deliverance, the power of miracles. We have reduced the gifts of the Spirit. And we have minimized servants of God. The Lord revealed to me on this encounter that not everybody that's a preacher is called by him. You know, there are some that are called, some that just pick up and go. You know, but the Lord revealed to me that the mark on the servant's life is the demonstration of the Spirit in their lives. Because the Holy Spirit is always active, always powerful. You know, and the Lord allowed me to realize that in these last days, the Lord showed me clearly that God is exposing his true servants. And what I mean by exposing, we used to, the word exposing in the sense where if you do something wrong, you're going to be exposed.
Yeah.
But God told me that he's going to begin to bring to light his true servants that will move in a dimension that literally the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against them. You know, And in the scripture, if you look at prophets, if you look at apostles, if you look at the Old Testament characters that were called by God, you're going to realize that they went through persecution and they went through, I mean, John was thrown in the island of Patmos to be killed, and that's an 80-something-year-old man. Yet because of God in their lives, they could not be killed. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that they subdued kingdoms and overtook nations, and they did all this because of the Spirit of God in their lives. So a true man that's called of God is unstoppable. Nothing can destroy you. Media cannot bring you down. Money cannot slow you down. Sickness cannot kill you. You know, and God is about to expose his true servants, which I'm going to be honest with you, there are not many. And the Lord showed me this. We think that God needs numbers. And in the Bible, it's never about the numbers. It's about what the Holy Spirit can do.
Amen.
You know, and nowadays, you know, churches, like the more, you know, everybody, there's a thing going like everybody can be a leader. Everybody can preach. Everybody can be this. Everybody can be a miracle worker. Well, if that's the case, then why the Bible says God calls some to be apostles, some to be prophets.
Right.
You know, so what we have done is we have lower the manifestation of God to a social club where you just join it and go to school and get a degree, learn how to preach and learn how to raise an offering and go do it and God will use you. And that's where we lost power in the church in America.
Amen.
You know, and I believe God is exposing true servants that have had an encounter with God. Every character in the Bible that did something for God, first they had an encounter face to face with God. It was not about, you know, I feel it. It's not about I study. It's about an encounter. Peter had an encounter.
Amen.
Paul had an encounter. John had an encounter. Isaiah had an encounter. Moses had an encounter. Elijah, and so on. You know, and the days of encountering the presence and the power of God has not come to an end. God is still encountering people. I was encountered by God. I was a Roman Catholic. I never asked for it. I never prayed for it. In fact, I was backsliding when God came to me in 2005. I went into business.
Wow.
And I decided to be a businessman because truly, you know, being an evangelist around the world, I mean, you never make money, you know. So I was thinking like, well, I'm tired of being broke, you know. I'm going to be a businessman. And you know how it is.
Amen.
And the economy was growing, so I became a businessman and I was successful. And in the midst of my walking away from the calling, the Lord knocks me on the ground and tells me, you were born, you know, with a mark on your life, and I'm sending you back. And literally overnight, I let go of everything I had, and I moved back into my parents' couch. And for 3 months, I went back into fellowship with the Lord. And that's when the prophetic ministry was birthed in my life. You know, and I can tell you something, dear sister. I have seen entire nations and cities shaken by the move of God in one crusade. Not in a year. In one crusade. Entire nations. I was preaching in Bolivia. 300 young people invited me to preach to the youth group. And God began to move. And the Lord says, I want to do more than just the young people. And the miracles began. And the mother of the president's secretary got healed. Next week, I'm sitting with the president in his house, giving him the word of the Lord. The Lord healed him from a cancer he had. The next day, he looks at me and says, what do you want? And I say, I want the nation. And he opened every radio, every TV station live to record my crusade. And in one day, I was able to preach the gospel through the entire nation by the backing of the president.
Wow.
And that is what God is doing nowadays. But we got to have an encounter with God. And I really feel, and I know I'm talking very fast, but I really feel that you know, if you feel God is calling you, encounter the Lord. Seek Him. You know, I mean, you got to have evidence. You know, you cannot just go with a nice word, with a nice message. Now, in America, for the last 20 years, it was all about, I have a word, I have a message. And it was all cute. And yet, the morality of America, look at where we are right now, because we have given people a lot of good words. Yet, it takes only one word of God to change a nation.
Yes.
One word of God to change a nation. I mean, God, through Moses, look at Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And 3 million people were set free. Nowadays, preachers are preaching many words, not even a community is being changed, because God did not speak. And God is calling us back to a place where with one message, with one word, we can see a nation, a city, a community shaken up by the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. And what I'm telling you, I live it. Just a couple of days ago, I was preaching in Ohio, in a town called Chillicothe, Ohio, about 45 minutes away from Columbus. And I stood up in a service in a Baptist church, a Spirit-filled Baptist church, and I told my congregation, and I prophesied, and I said, the cloud of the glory of God is going to come in this building and over this building. And the people have no idea what I was saying. I have the photo on my Facebook. If they go to my Facebook, literally a cloud in the shape of a world of a funnel formed on top of the church, pointing exactly to the location where everybody in the city could see it. And the glory of God was so powerful. People were coming out of the building to take photos of the cloud. And God healed the sick. The cripple walked. Demons came out. People received the Spirit. Souls were saved. This is what I'm talking about 3 days ago in Ohio.
Yes.
Why? Because in one weekend of event, we shook that entire town and we changed the atmosphere of that town by the glory and the power of God.
Yes,
Lord. And I'm here to tell everyone that is listening to me right now. Doesn't matter, you know, maybe some of you are asking, well, who's this guy? It doesn't matter who that guy is. Listen to what God is saying now.
Yes.
This is the season where God wants to change America, not by many preachers, not by many words, not by many cute messages, but by a demonstration of His power, where it will take one servant to stand up in a city and change the city. It took one Moses to deliver the people out of Israel. And I believe whatever city you live, California, Ohio, Alabama, Atlanta, it takes one man to shake that city. If God sends you and if God has a word through your mouth. We are living in that season today. Yeah. And I want to encourage everyone that feels that God wants you to do something. You know, don't be a preacher of many words. You know, when I turn television or, you know, or I go to events, you know, there's some outstanding preachers that have learned the skill of preaching, yet carries no power and nobody gets changed.
But
God is looking for people that will hear His voice and will speak it to the people. And in that sentence or in that sermon, an entire community can be shaken up by the power of God. And that's what's happening today.
Well, Pastor, I cannot let you off here without asking you one very important question that I'm sure our listeners are saying, please ask him this. There are so many prophecies out there, especially with you being a prophet, that are talking, you know, there's a great judgment coming to America and to the bride, and that because of the ruling of the Supreme Court and all that stuff. What do you see coming? What do you hear God saying? And what should the bride do to prepare herself?
Yes, you know, and I want to address a couple things. You know, first of all, yes, judgment, you know, it's most of the judgment that people are talking about is self-inflicted, meaning, you know, you open doors, you do things that will provoke wrath. Okay,
yes,
and we live in a community where people think, well, you do something wrong, something bad is going to happen. You know, but in reality, I want to bring a different angle to this. You know, God judged the world through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He judged sin on the cross of Calvary. That does not mean that sin doesn't have consequences, but all judgment was placed on the cross of Calvary. And then God, when Jesus was resurrected, he looked down at the people and says, now, go and preach the gospel throughout the world. Proclaim the good news. The gospel means the good news that Jesus paid a price. And as you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, you know, and go teach them of the things that I have taught you, he told the disciples. So what was Jesus saying? He's saying there will be a judgment that God's going to release. But the good news will shine when the darkness is the greatest in the world. And right now we're living through a season where darkness is, like Isaiah 60 says, literally has covered the earth. And that God is releasing light through the message and the demonstration of his Holy Spirit. I see everywhere I go in America, masses of people coming to Christ. I see the homosexuals coming to Christ and getting set free. I see the drug addicts. I see the sexual addictions being set free. People getting to stuff because they don't know there's a God that delivers. America knows there's a God that is ready to point a finger and slap me if I do something wrong. Well, that's not the God of the Bible. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Now,
yeah.
I'm not trying to minimize what's going on, but Jesus told the disciples, pick up your eyes and look unto the fields. Now, he told them in an era where they were living, you know, if you know anything about the Roman Empire, the rule in the times of Jesus, the Romans were bisexual. The Romans did not mind homosexualism. Yeah, I mean, some of the Roman great authorities, you know, they were bisexual. It was a very sexual, free community. That's what Paul, in the book of Romans, he writes about sexuality. Because even in the church, sexuality was free. You know, men, they didn't see it as a problem. So the problem with sexuality, homosexualism, has been going on for thousands of years.
Right.
Yet in the midst of that darkness, Jesus came to shine light. What we want to do, because people like to judge, we want to focus in the negative, and we're ready for God to kill everybody who signed that petition. But yet God is ready to save. But God saves with a mighty hand. And this is what I want to emphasize, because the gospel has been powerless in America. The agenda of the enemy has increased. But when we go back to a gospel that carries true power to set people free, the masses that are bound, because nobody wants to be bound.
Right.
But nobody knows that they can be set free. So I believe from the Lord that this is the season for harvest. I see it everywhere I go. The season for harvest, when you come with a message that has proof, with a message that carries deliverance to the people. You know, now there's a date of judgment. I believe God will judge us, you know, but I believe we're living in a dispensation where God wants to bring harvest into the kingdom. Now, people are concerned about, you know, I read all the times on the papers, they're removing the Ten Commandments from such a place. And they make it like if God is going to judge us because we removed the Ten Commandments. Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad in a way that they're shaking religion, because if you are a New Testament believer, we don't live by the Ten Commandments.
Right.
We live by the leading of the Spirit and by the Word of God and by the blood of Jesus. You know, so it's like we're trying to hold to religion tradition, not realizing that the world is crying out for God. The world is saying, we don't want no more religion. We don't want no more commandments. You know what I hear the world saying? I say, we want a real God that is not a bunch of rules and regulations.
Yeah.
That's what the word is saying. But we take it as if you remove the Ten Commandments from the court, judgment is going to come. Well, let me tell you something. Judgment will not come if they remove the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Ten Commandments, Jesus said, the law and the prophets are fulfilled in me. So we don't go by Ten Commandments. Now we go by Jesus. Jesus has been made the law fulfilled. Jesus has, you know, he is our Savior. He, the Holy Spirit will lead us. He will lead us into all truth. So it's time that we look up before, you know, past religion. And we realize if somebody's fighting the Bible, it's because they're crying out for something real. Because when people find the real, they will always embrace it. Jesus was never, ever rejected except by the religious people.
Oh, that is true. Amen.
And this is the season.
That is right.
It's exactly right. The religious people, everybody else he encountered, people with sexual problems, people that were crooks, people that were thieves, people that were bad, when they encountered the person of Jesus, all of them followed them with all of their hearts. Nowadays, the religious is trying to make something happen, and the people are rejecting. Why? Because we are portraying God as a God of rules and regulations, and we're not bringing the person of Christ through the Holy Spirit to a world that is starving to hear the message that will set them free. This is a season for harvest. This is a season to proclaim the gospel. No, don't worry about the judgment and this and that. You know, human beings, we like to judge everything. We're very judgmental. We're very critical. You know, but Jesus said, look up, yeah. Pick up your eyes and see into the fields. They're ready for the harvest. And that's what I want to encourage you. And I know it's not a lot of prophets are prophesying judgment and all this and all that. But Jesus says, I came to save, not to judge, not to condemn. And I came to bring light to a dark world. And I came to save and to find those that are lost. Let's stick to the message of the gospel. And you see how those that are doing bad things will turn to Jesus faster than anything else.
Amen, brother. Well, listen, before you get off here, Brad, I'm going to play an audio clip of his preaching of one of his crusades. But before you leave, sir, I would love for you to let the bride pray for you. It's an honor for us to pray for every guest. And we ask that the bride across the world come together in agreement with us for each guest. So right now, Brad, if you would just bow your head and let's pray for Mr. Vera. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that he released to the bride today. And we come together in agreement, Lord, lifting up his arms, Lord, like Aaron did with Moses, saying, yes, brother, go forth being all that God has called you to be and to accomplish the mission that he wrote for you before time began so that you can do, reap the harvest. And we thank you and give you praise for his life, Lord, for everything that you did in his past to bring him to where he's at now, Lord. So we speak life into him. We proclaim, Lord, that your will shall be done in his life, Lord, and that he will have an increase of the downloads from heaven of all the tools and strategies that he's going to need to accomplish his mission, Lord. Send more laborers to help him, Lord, more intercessors. He needs to be covered in intercessors, Lord, with him walking in the office of the prophet. So we thank you for the honor of him being with us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, brother, would you mind praying for our ministry and for the bride, please?
Yes, of course. Father God, I pray for everyone that is listening to my voice and for this ministry that is hungry to spread the message.
Yes.
And I pray, God, that you bring them revelation of what the Spirit of God is saying and doing now in the midst of the people. For you are one that loves to save and you love to demonstrate your power. I pray you will empower many. And I pray that the many people will reach harvest of souls in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you will release your mighty power. The signs, wonders, and miracles will take place. Even those that are listening to me with a sickness in their body. Let healing come right now. I rebuke diabetes and I rebuke arthritis. And there are people that are listening with diabetes in your body. You know, I release the fire of God. There is literally a heat going to your body. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's a new condition.
Lord.
Somebody's going to call in the radio. Right now you begin to move your right knee. It's supposed to have some kind of doctor intervention there, and God is healing that knee in the name of
the
Lord. I declare right now for bones to be healed, for cancers to be removed in the name of Jesus. Let a blanket of healing be released on everyone that is sick. And I pray that you will release an anointing that breaks bandages out of people. And I pray that this ministry will be a sounding voice that will bring deliverance and empowerment to the people of the world. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you and every member and every family that is listening today. In the name of the Lord, amen and amen to that.
Amen, sir. You have a wonderful day today.
God bless you. Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bride, the next part of this interview is his conversation, his interview with Sid Roth, where he talks about going to heaven. I know that you will enjoy this interview.
Is there a supernatural dimension? A world beyond the one we know? Is there life after death? Do angels exist? Can our dreams contain messages from heaven? Can we tap into ancient secrets of the supernatural? Are healing miracles real? Sid Roth has spent over 35 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid for this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. I want to live in the presence of God 24/7. And more important, I want you to live. It's actually more important to me. I want you to live in the supernatural of God 24/7. My guest went to heaven and was taught by Moses, Jeremiah, Isaiah, the Word of God with the revelation of what they understood now that they're in heaven. And he's been sent back here to teach you. Can you imagine how quickly you're going to grow when you get these revelations? I can't wait, because the more I hear him share this, the deeper and deeper it gets. And as I like to say, anything my guests can do, you can do better. So, you're 18 years old, you're Catholic, you get a free trip to Disney. You want to go to Orlando, you're 18, you want to go to the clubs, and so you need a room, not too expensive, and you rent a room, and the woman happens to be a very strong Christian that goes to a church that Benny Hinn is the pastor of, and she nags you to go. So, you go to this church. What did you see?
You know, I thought it was going to be a traditional mass, you know, hour and a half.
Of course.
Walk in the place. The worship was going on, and there was a presence, an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, which I didn't know at that time. But I went up on the balcony, sat in there, and instantly the presence of God came on me, and I started weeping and crying, but it was something I could not stop. So, I forgot the message. I don't know what Benny Hinn preached about. All I know is that the presence of the Holy Spirit came on me. I wept. I felt like tingling going throughout my body. And I was captured in the atmosphere of God.
And, I mean, God is so good. He's getting ready to go home. And he hears the audible voice of God. Do not go home. Stay in that church. Get mentored. Get discipled. And then, after that, He literally, tell me about when you heard God's voice about the helmet.
Yes, actually, I never end up going to Disney. Went to the church, Orlando Christian Center, just about every single day. Any event I was in church, Sunday night, Pastor Vinny used to have a healing service every Sunday night. I was in the healing service, touched by the presence of God. On my way back to the house, a guy says, you want to ride? I said, sure. You want a motorcycle? Wear the helmet. I'm leaving the church about two blocks away from the church. I hear the voice of the Lord from the inside of my helmet. It sounded like a radio. And he said to me, you're not going back. So I took the helmet out and I look in the helmet, and I told my friend, the Lord spoke to me. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, he's in the helmet. So he stopped on the side and he goes, I said, dude, God is not in the helmet. And I said, God is inside the helmet. You know, I had no idea how the Lord functioned. I was just saved days. And I knew right away that it was God talking to me. And the Lord says, don't go back. I stop on a payphone, call my house, and my father, I said, I'm not going back. I'm staying.
What?
My dad says, what? I said, Dad, Jesus talked to me. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah, what did he say? I go, he says, I need to stay here. And he goes, well, if you don't get on the plane tomorrow, I'm going to. And he says some really bad words, and I'll go get you myself and drive you back to Hawaii. So I said to him, well, guess what? I'm not going. Hang up the phone. And I stay in Florida for the next 9 years.
And you know what? He saw so many miracles. I mean, he had visitations and just so many things that I it's hard for me to comprehend that he backslid. I guess his gifts were beyond his knowledge of how to use them, and people talked and he got hurt and he went into business. How could you backslide after all that you saw?
You see, that's something that I was wondering myself. I went through some things, opposition and some trials. And, you know, it's interesting to see how little by little, you know, it's not something that you get up in the morning and says, well, I'm going back. I don't want God. You find yourself compromising. You find yourself hanging out with the people that don't carry the same fire and passion for God. You hang out with Christians that are churchgoers, but they live in the world, live in the church. And little by little, the devil's so sneaky, little by little, down the road, you find yourself completely back in the things that you say you'll never go back. You know, and that's what happened to me.
And you know, he felt he was going to have a heart attack. I mean, to him, it was a heart attack. And he had a visitation from Jesus. And he went to heaven. And when he shares about his understanding of the glory, his understanding of the word that was downloaded to him in heaven, you must get closer to God. You must grow. And even those that are backslidden that are watching right now, come home. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. Our world is rife with comparisons about what separates us. Day after day, we go about our lives with tunnel vision. But Scripture tells us how Messiah broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, allowing for the creation of one new man, one new humanity. This spiritual completeness is set to usher in the greatest move toward God the world has ever known. Sid Roth has discovered Scripture's key to reaching the Jewish people with God's love. One new humanity opens the door for God to move in signs and wonders, and all will see the evidence of the invisible God promised in Scripture. At SidRoth.org, you'll find mentoring tools to empower you to share how one new humanity is critical to bringing multitudes to know God. You'll understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church, and how all the nations of the earth will experience blessings unseen in human history. Log on to SidRoth.org today and learn how one new man is the key to unlocking God's greatest blessings.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Now, Rich Vera had 6 hours in heaven. But he says, although it was 6 hours, there's no time in heaven. And so it was unlimited teaching was downloaded into his spirit. Tell me about what happened when you went to heaven.
You know, I was grilling fish in Hawaii, friends, pass out. I saw instantly when I fell on the ground, I was taken off my body, and it was right away in the presence of the Lord. Now, I always had the idea, when I see Jesus, I'm going to jump on him, kiss him, love him. But because I wasn't living up to his expectations, to what I knew was best, there was a sense of failure on the inside of me. There was a sense of so much to do for God. I'm called of God. I'm here. I'm wasting my time being selfish, allowing bitterness and what people did to me keep me away from the living God. I spent what it seemed to me 45 minutes or more begging the Lord for his mercy. I felt that at any time something could open and I would go right to hell. And I begged the Lord from my whole being, asking, Lord, have mercy, please send me back. And if you send me back, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll preach for you. I'll live my life for you. It was about a time where begging with such a force that I heard at a distance, way at a distance, that the sound of the ambulance pulling over to the house. And I begin to see way down there, opening the door, coming out, coming the driveway. And when I saw them, I opened my eyes back on the backyard. And I told my friends, this is not a sickness. I said, I'm not dying. I said, this is a visitation from God. They had no idea what I was talking about. They told the paramedics that I was okay. It was a visitation of God. I don't know how they took it. So when they were gone, I told them, pull me in the house, because I was in the backyard. Neighbors heard me screaming. They were coming out the windows. They dragged me in the house, throw me in the couch. The moment I hit the couch, I was taken off my body again. And this time I was in the presence of the Lord, but I wasn't begging for mercy. Now I knew that the Lord gave me a chance. I knew that the Lord allowed me to return and that I wasn't going to die and go to hell. Now I'm walking with the Lord, and now I begin to... The funny thing is, my mind that I have down here, it works perfectly up there. So I remember everything down here, and I always said, if I see Jesus, I'm going to ask him every question I can ask. I'm going to throw a thousand questions.
How would you like to ask Jesus some questions? I have an idea you would. I have an idea you would, too.
And I begin to ask him questions. I say, God, tell me about the healing ministry and the prophetic ministry and the working of miracles, because these are the gifts that God has given me as a minister. And the Lord will not answer my questions. And I go, Lord, am I going to raise the dead? What's going to be this? Am I going to preach? How big is going to be my audience? And the Lord was not paying attention. So I get frustrated and say, fine. And I thought to myself, somehow I'm going to get the answer from you. And the Lord says, I want you to see something and meet some people. And he's walking me down. And suddenly, the Lord, before he walks me down, he looks at me and says, why did you allow what people said about you and the things that happened and the accusations and how mean people, why did you let this turn you away from me? Don't you know that I'm the one? And he took me back since I was a little boy. Incidents that in my life that he was with me, and I have no idea. Now, what the Lord is telling me this, I'm listening to his voice, but I'm having a visual, like a TV screen, of the events. And as the Lord is talking to me, up till the day I was 18 years old when I got born again. And the Lord says, I was with you in this event and in this event. And I'm the one that visited you and saved you. When he's talking to me, his voice and his words are coming to me with such a force that they started cleansing me from all the bitterness and all the anger. And instantly, by him talking to me, I was filled with his love and I was delivered from the hatred, the bitterness, and all my resentments. And I was filled with the love of God, to the point that I wanted to go to every person that did me wrong and hug him and kiss him. It was a love that it was beyond my way of expressing love. And I learned one thing, the voice of the Lord carries power to deliver us, to change us, to heal us. Just his voice.
You know, here in America, we have, maybe 8 Bibles per Christian. We're fat with Bibles.
Yes.
And we've heard the stories since we were in Sunday school, little kids, and we kind of take it for granted. We forget how powerful every word of the Word of God is.
Well, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they carry life. So words are, it's not just noise, you know, like you hear a voice and go, well, you know, you're just making noise. But when Jesus talks, there's two elements to his voice. His voice is an audio, and his voice is visual. And I experience this because everything he will talk to me, I will see it. And that's what you hear prophetic people says, well, I see this and I see that. Yet you're hearing something from the Lord. So when God talks to us, and actually words that are spirit-born, spirit-led, are words that will carry vision, I will carry audio. And this is the power of God, because the Bible says without vision that people perish. But the word of God brings vision to us. There's a need for us to hear the voice of God, not just through a prophet. One word of the Lord can carry you for a whole life. One single word.
Now, God told you when you came back, and he taught you about the gift of prophecy, but what did he tell you you would be able to see when you
came back? He showed me some people, and he says, look at them. And he told me, what do you see? And I said, well, I see, you know, and I described the people. And he says, look again, tell me what you see. And I said, well, I see, you know, and I described a different part. And he says, look again. So I begin to describe, well, blue tie, red this. And then suddenly an angel turned the group of people around, and an angel came and peeled them from the back like if they were a banana. So when they peeled them, instead of seeing their brain or their body organs, I could see in them what happened to them, where they were children, things in their lives, what they were thinking, incidents in their lives. And the Lord says, look now. And when I saw it, something right away was downloaded in my spirit. And the Lord says, from this time on, when you will see people, you will know. And as you speak by my spirit, I will heal them, I will deliver them, not only physically, but for things that have happened in their lives. So that's really what released me to another level of the prophetic in my life.
Let me tell you something. I was with him, and I just talked a bit about backsliding, and I don't understand someone backsliding. I said, because I had such an experience, and I could never even fathom that. And he began to tell me the experience that I had. He said, I see it. And he began to say the words, but he had no knowledge of this before the fact. So I've already tested this gift, but what excites me even more than that gift, I have to tell you, is the revelation you got from Isaiah, from Peter, from Elijah, from Moses. I wish I had those revelations. I want to hear it the next segment. Be right back. You know, I've heard many Bible teachers, outstanding Bible teachers, but I've never heard a Bible teacher that teaches for hours and hours about revelations he got in heaven. I mean, how would you like a teacher that got revelation from the people that God used to write the books in the Bible?
We'll be back with more with Rich Vera in just one moment. Call right now to get Rich Vera's anointed four-part audio CD series and DVD, Teaching from Heaven. Yours for a donation of $40. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 1602. Through this anointed four-part audio CD series, you will learn how to have every part of your being transformed by the Word of God, your personality, your belief system, your emotions, your thinking, how you walk, act, and carry yourself. Learn how to receive your healing and keep it. Begin living in the presence of Jesus, where there is divine health, miracles, provision, and every good thing. And on this exclusive DVD, you will experience Rich Vera's ministry firsthand.
You lift up your arm of faith and you reach out in the presence of the Lord and you grab your miracle, you grab your deliverance, you grab everything that concerns your family. Every area of your body will live. The word of the Lord will not return void.
God is going to give you an impartation of the Spirit of God, and there will be a door that God is going to open, an invitation for you to come to His glory and experience the supernatural.
Don't miss out on getting Rich Vera's anointed four-part audio CD series and DVD, Teaching from Heaven. Yours for a donation of $40. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 1602. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 1602 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
My guest, Rich Vera, went to heaven and had so much revelation downloaded to him of the Word of God. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Why? Because it is a perfect description of the Messiah, Jesus. And it was written 800 to 900 years before Jesus even came to earth. What did Isaiah teach you about that Isaiah 53?
You see, I was able to see in a vision. You know, when Isaiah talked to me, it was the voice of the Lord talking, but it was him talking. And that's how I realized that when we read the word of God, it's not just somebody's opinion. It is literally the Lord talking through the prophets. And when I saw Isaiah 53, I saw the cross and I saw Jesus' crucifixion. And the power of that event, that Jesus did not die just to forgive our sins, even though that's a main thing. But there's wholeness. There's the healing of the spirit, the soul, and the body that happened on that cross, that happened through the shed blood of Jesus. You know, and many times we have forgotten about the cross and we have forgotten about the blood, but really it was in the cross. In the Old Testament, when they look at the serpents on the pole, you know, Moses said, whosoever looks shall live. Well, there was a shadow of the crucifixion. And in the cross, our sins were nailed, our sicknesses. So when he spoke this to me, his voice came out with such a power. And I realized we emphasize on the cure of the body. Most of people that talk about healing talk about cures. But in reality, when you get the spirit, the inside of a person well and whole, then the healing of the body will follow automatically.
And that's the missing link. That's why a lot of people even, they get healed, and then it seems like the symptoms come back so easily. It's because those same wounds are still there.
Exactly. There's the wounds, or they have not dealt with the deal that we spoke about, iniquity. You know, there's so many things that we don't allow, and then we want things from God, and then when they don't work, the enemy comes to deceive us that, well, maybe God don't want to heal you, or it's not your time, or so many things. But I found that in the presence of the glory of God, there's wholeness. You see, heaven was all about the glory. Heaven, there was not an ounce of an anointing in heaven. There's no anointing in heaven. The anointing is for the earth. But heaven is all about the glory, because heaven is all about God. In heaven, no one was significant. Isaiah, all these people that I saw and I was able to converse, they had one message to me. I asked him 1,000 questions. Their message was the glory, and the glory is God. So heaven is full of his glory. God fills heaven. Every worship is directed. Everything is directed towards the person of God. I was able to see up on the hill, the palace of God. And I said a palace because it looked to me like a palace, covered by a cloud, but it was a dark cloud, like a cloud that's about to pour rain. And that dark cloud, it covered half of the palace. And the palace was up on the mountain, and I was trying to run up to touch it because my mind still worked. So I'm thinking, I'm going to go up there real quick and just touch it a little bit. And the more I run up, the higher it went. And the higher it went. And I understood when Isaiah says, I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. So not only he's on high, but he's in a continuous state of going higher. And the worship of the people is what exalts. The word to exalt is to bring high. So God is on continuous exaltation. And the way we connect with God, really, I learned, is through worship. It's through to finding that connection. And then I saw suddenly that a door opened up. And this river came down from the palace. When this river came down, it looked like if it was as thick as liquid chocolate. But it was the water that came out, it was gold. It was like gold liquid. And the water will curl and will come down. It looks almost like a cartoon. And suddenly, I hear a voice as the water is coming down, that was the river of life. And anything that it touches, it turns it back into life. And I could see the grass and some of the flowers that it will go right through it, and they will come alive. They were alive, but there was more.
So that river is available today. And I'm going to ask you to pray, especially people that have these iniquities, these wounds in their souls that are preventing them from activating the promises of God. I believe if you pray for them right now, there's going to be a supernatural river of life.
I believe that. You know, most of us, we deal with transgressions. You know, transgressions is the act of sin, what we do wrong. You know, but there's a thing in the Bible that's called iniquity, which is the inner cause that makes you do the outer sins. And most of us, we're clean. We say we don't smoke, we don't drink, we don't do this. But yet, if we don't deal with what's in our heart, the wickedness of our heart, the things that was inherent, then eventually that sin will come back again, causing you to fall. And that's why so many good people, maybe you're watching us and you are a good believer and you don't know why you fell into a sin, into a thing. It is because you never dealt with the issue of the heart.
And I pray right now in the name of Jesus. There are many ministers, people called to ministry right now, and you fell away and you thought, well, you know, God is done with me. But no, the Lord wants to restore your life. He did it for me. And it was His presence, it was His voice, His word that completely delivered me. And I know God wants to restore you, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that this will be the day and the hour where the Lord restores your life, heals you, removes every generational curse out of your life, and brings the presence of the Holy Spirit into every compartment of your heart and of your soul, and heals you in the name of Jesus.
You know, I feel as you're talking right now, I am hearing words of knowledge. I am hearing that people with arthritis in their fingers, if you will move your fingers, the arthritis is gone. And others, right there, I'm speaking to you. If you have a pain in your neck or your back, if you'll just stand up, stretch, touch the ceiling, I mean, you know what I'm saying, and move your head, you'll see that that pain is totally gone, but it's very strong in fingers. Has God shown you anything else?
Yeah, you know, definitely arthritis. You know, there's somebody with a back problem, and you had an accident, and you have been in extreme pain for many years because of your back. Some of your discs were damaged. The Lord is healing you right now. There's a great hit on your body. There's also somebody else with a blockage on your ear, on your hearing right now, that the Lord is delivering you from that stuff. There's people with depression, heavy depression, and the Lord is lifting up that veil of depression out of your life, and you're being freed right now by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I can say this to you right now. This show was designed for you. Remember when I said, come home? That was for you. God is not angry with you. He sent His Son to die for you. And I tell you, you would not be watching this show if there wasn't time to come home. Turn from your sin. Turn to God.